Hello, and I know it's been a while since I've done a Heretic Speaks, but October was a very busy month because my wife and I moved house and then, had a lot of other things going on. But last Sunday, I was at Tapestry Ministries, and I did a sermon entitled Not of This Flock, and I present it here for you to listen to, and I hope you enjoy it. So good evening. Lovely to see a lot of you again. Some of you I haven't seen for a while since graduation, so. But I'm guessing some of you know what Wicca or witchcraft is, right? Some of you? And I'm guessing some of you also know someone or a friend of a friend who's also a Wiccan or a witch or some flavor of pagan. I'm also guessing some of you might know that witchcraft exists, but think, I have no idea what the heck this is, and I'm not sure if it's good or not. Well, for those of you who know what Wicca is, some of this might be a little boring to you, some of this might be kind of a review. although I do have a different take on it than some other Wiccans in the area, but I do like to be a heretic after all. So for those of you who don't know what Wicca is and are not sure if it's really of God or not, let me assure you that having that doubt is perfectly okay. I am totally cool with it. I promise you I won't be offended if even after my sermon, you don't think that Wicca and Christianity can mix. Pretty much suffice to say, I'm not here to proselytize my faith to you. What I do hope to accomplish here is breaking down the walls and showing that my faith, while different, is just as valid as anyone else's. Many years ago at a public pagan event, I had a man come up to me and tell me that my religion was fake, like Santa Claus. I tried to convince him otherwise, but eventually the guy gave up and went away. My coven leader at the time thought that I was way too patient with him, and I thought that being rude would not really serve my spirituality, so I listened to him and heard him out. But I couldn't blame him, really. I mean, really, what do most people know about witchcraft? And if you're thinking the Hollywood versions of witches, you'd be absolutely right. I can't count the number of times I've been asked if I'm a good witch or a bad witch. I won't lie. If I could do half the stuff that the Hollywood witches can do, it would be super awesome. I mean, my wife and I just moved to a new house. We have boxes everywhere. And if I could just wiggle my nose or wave up my wand and just have it all unpacked and put away, and my kitchen all clean and my dishes done, that would be the best. I would be so excited. Especially like if they could just like have all the dishes done and then have hot tea waiting for me. It's brilliant. Fortunately, I don't have those powers. Excuse me. In fact, it's more like what we saw in the gospel reading about the woman who was bleeding and couldn't find a cure until Jesus came. Throughout the Bible, we see Jesus perform miracles, heal the sick, deal with demons. And most people read all of these as his miracles and that the mark of the prophet. But when I read it, I see Jesus as a magician. In Jesus' time, mysticism was alive and well. So, and particularly because he was male, it is in the realm of possibility that Jesus was able to study the mystical aspects of his faith while growing up. With the bleeding woman, not only did the woman need faith and belief in order for the magic to work, Jesus had to have some sort of training in order to recognize when the energy was being taken from him. With all the practice that he had had up to that point, healing the sick and all that, it doesn't surprise me that he would know what was happening when the woman touched him. I can understand that he was a bit annoyed at first, and wanted to know who had done it, because it's not a nice feeling when somebody takes your power, especially without asking you first. Jesus could have stayed annoyed at her and lectured her, but he listened to her story and showed compassion. This, to me, illustrates the basics of what I call magic. Now, Jesus was light years more powerful than a magician than I am, especially according to the Gospels, the way I read it. But the fundamentals are the same. Moving energy, appealing to deity and spirits, in order to have an effect on something or someone. Does this sound familiar to any of you? It should, because that's what prayer is. And for those of you who have experienced intercessory prayer especially, I'd argue that what they are doing is what I would call magic. You are appealing to Jesus to help someone heal or to have an intervention in their lives that only deity can do. This isn't very different from what I do in my Wiccan practice. It's just that sometimes I do it with more stuff.
Thank you.
And sometimes I appeal to different or more deities besides Jesus. The funny thing is that mysticism isn't new to Christianity. In fact, and some pagans would deny this, modern neo-pagan practice, especially those based on British traditional Wicca, which was founded by Gerald Gardner sometime in the late 1800s, was created from a mixing of Celtic stories and traditions with Judeo-Christian mysticism. Some of that was based on ceremonial magic, which included groups like the Masons and the Golden Dawn. And some also got their ideas from old books of magic, Kabbalah, and magic from the Arabic world. In some ways, I think Wicca and witchcraft and other traditions are preserving Christian mysticism, especially for the Protestant denominations. And it's been in the last 10 to 15 years that we've been helping to bring it back. Well, okay. So the last point could be argued, and some people do argue it. But with the advent of the internet, there are more and more people who are calling themselves what I like to call multi-faith practitioners, where you practice more than one faith path. And this is a newer concept in the more mainstream, and I hate to say it, primarily white denominations and congregations in the U.S., but there are a great many traditions out there that mix magic and Christianity. Udon, Santeria, some of the African diasporic traditions out there, and also there's Catholicism, which, especially depending on what country you live in, has its own brand of mysticism and magic. In Japan, which I'm a big anime nerd, so I know I've learned a lot about Japanese culture over the years, many people practice Shinto, Buddhism, and Christianity, and nobody really bats an eye. It's all part of the spirit of place. But even in the United States, you know, we've had traditions, you know, we've got Native American traditions and, you know, like the grandmothers, you know, your grandmother that kind of knew what to do when something spiritual is wrong. These are the other sheep of the flock that listen to Jesus, doing the work of healing, helping, and compassion, but just in a different way. When I first realized that Christianity was also part of my spiritual path, I was scared that it meant that I'd have to give up my Wiccan practice as well. There were some people, both pagan and Christian, who thought I should pick one or the other. I've had some pagans tell me that in no way, no way at all, can Christianity be compatible with magical practice because of Christianity's history against pagans. And I've had Christians tell me that now that I found Jesus, the witchcraft part will naturally go away. To be honest, I didn't want to give up my witchcraft. It would have been a waste of many years of study and practice. So like any good witch, I cast a circle, called up all the deities that I work with, including Jesus, and asked them, And I need to pause a second to thank my wife, because it would have been a lot harder process if she hadn't helped me that night. But the response of all the deities, in summary, was that it didn't really matter who I called to, as long as I was doing my work, helping people, priesting, and showing love and compassion. The other way to look at their response is that the deities are like professional colleagues. They may not all agree, nor do they all work in the same way, but they can get along and work together if they need to. The other part of this working that was important was that when I asked Jesus about my witchcraft, not only did he not require me to give it up, he told me that the work that I have to do for him as one of his priests requires me to use it. He didn't want me to give it up, nor will he ever ask me to. He wanted me to be his just as I am. How cool is that? How amazing is that? Jesus wanted me to come to him as I am, no different. There are differences in how I practice my faith and how you may practice yours. And yet, we have commonalities in practice. We have faith in the teachings of Jesus. We believe in the healing power that Jesus can wield, like he did for the bleeding woman. And I am here, as I am, to represent the sheep that are not of this flock, the ones with a difference that you might not agree with or might not accept, whether it is spiritual expression, gender expression, sexuality, ability, or any other difference. Jesus says that he will lay down his life for us and that he knows his own. Like many of you who know that you belong to Jesus, especially those who are clergy, I know that I am a priest of Jesus just as much as I am a priest for the Dagda, Hecate, Caradwyn, Lilith, and the Morrigan. I know my faith in all of them is strong, and I listen to their voices. I believe I am part of the flock, because for me that is enough for anyone. Is it enough for you too? Let us pray. God, Goddess, spirits and deities, the universal all, we pray that we can see the differences and accept that which makes us unique. But we also pray to see things we have in common so that we know that even in our differences, we are not all that different. We are made in your image. So let us remember that as you have many names and faces, so do we. Amen, and blessed be. I'd like to thank Tapestry Ministries in Berkeley, California, and Reverend Lee Whitaker for inviting me to come and talk to them. And I hope it was okay. And I'm glad, really glad my voice held out. I've had a cold recently, so my voice has been going in and out. And I plan on doing some more Heretic Speaks in the future. And if I do another sermon again, I'll definitely record it. I hope everybody's having a great week. And thank you for all the prayers and good wishes on our move. It's been kind of a rough month or so, but we've gotten through it. So until next time, I hope you all have a great week.